Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. My Alaska by Nancy Lee tells the story of Alaska during its glory days. An adventure from the get-go, it contains Nancy's earliest memories of Alaska and the 1964 9.2 Good Friday earthquake. Her stories are inspirational and heartfelt, humorous and gripping, all true stories, all from the perspective of a true Alaska native, giving readers a good taste of the Alaskan life as it was in the 80s. This is her first book. Nancy grew up in early Alaska and, as an adult, raised her family while obtaining her liberal arts degree at the University of Alaska. Being an emergency medical technician with Tiketna Ambulance Service in Alaska for many years, Nancy fell in love with medicine and became a registered nurse. Moving to Grand Junction, Colorado with her children, she earned her Bachelor of Science nursing degree from Mesa State College, also a licensed pilot, certified scuba diver, an entrepreneur, lifestyle expert, loyal advocate for women, and author of My Alaska. Nancy Lee is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Looking forward to this, all that you've done. I've never been to Alaska. It looks like a beautiful place and somewhere I would really like to visit, except in the middle of winter sometime, maybe in the spring when you got some daylight up there and you can actually see all of the beauty. I love what you've done with this. I love the story that you tell in My Alaska. How did this book come about? Why, when did you decide, I'm going to write about the good days, the fun days I had in Alaska?
Well, I lived through such crazy things. There were stories that I just wanted to preserve because they were just either too funny or too bizarre or too crazy. And I just wanted to save them. I didn't want to write a book necessarily, but I wanted to save what I had been through because it was just so unique.
Yeah, I mentioned funny. There are funny stories in there. There are serious stories. There are flights with death that you had, and we'll talk about those during the course of the conversation. The book is My Alaska by Nancy Lee. You'll find it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, usual places, urlinkpublishing.com as well. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As I'm reading this, you really tell a wonderful story. And I'm thinking, are you a story writer or a teller? Is there a difference between the two?
Yes, I'm not a writer. I am, and I apologize for that. I'm more of a storyteller. When I this book started, I had to drive an hour and a half to get to a real grocery store or the bank. So I used that time to dictate the book and the stories. I thought, well, why not? I've got time. And I grabbed my dad's little dictaphone and I dictated the stories. So they weren't really truly written. And that's how it started. And from there, my mom got them transcribed. And the lady that was doing the typing was laughing so hard everyone in the office was coming by and saying, what's so funny? And she finally got it done. She told my mom, she said, oh, your daughter's got the gift. So that's what happened. And then the book sat for like 30 years because I didn't know what to do with it. And it just kind of collected dust. And that's kind of how it got started.
Fortunately, it's available today. You'll really enjoy reading Nancy's story. The book is My Alaska, again, available wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, publisher, urlinkpublishing.com. The fun times are in there. You also had times, and I guess I have to ask you, why are you still alive? How can you still be alive with what you went through? You were on death's doorstep literally on numerous occasions, weren't you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Only by the grace of God. That's the only reason I have to tell you. I went through bear country without a weapon, without any care to get to a glacial ice floe to ski in the summers. We would take our skis in a big coffee can with rocks in it and make lots of noise and troop like like 3/4 of a mile through bear country to get to this glacial ice field, and no one could pay me as an adult now to do that. I was 16 years old. I was a teenager, and nothing goes wrong when you're a teenager.
Exactly.
And, exactly. We'd laugh and you know, make noise, and I never saw a bear. I can't explain why, but because we were an hour either direction from even a phone. If something had gone wrong, it would have been over. And it was an ice field that a man had been skiing on, and he went headfirst into a crevasse and died. But we were fine. We were fine. And then the sea lions, we went kayaking in, Halibut Cove in, Homer, Alaska. And, these three sea lions came up one at a time by my kayak. And I was just in heaven. I thought, this is the coolest thing. And I was giggling and laughing, and my partner was like hugging the shoreline, you know, she was petrified. And I was just giggling, and I was in heaven. These things, I could reach out and touch them if I had wanted to. They were that close. And so on board the Danny Jays, the little ferry that took us over there, the captain looked at the kayaks and said, yeah, sea lions travel in packs of three, and they tip over the kayaks and drown the kayakers and eat them.
Ooh. And I, okay, I don't like either of those scenarios there, the tipping over or the eating part.
No, but they were right there, and there was no reason. I was looking into the eyes of there was a male and two females, and he was about 800 to 900 pounds. And I was looking right into his eyes, just loving every minute of it. And he just went under and went away, and the females followed him in the order they had arrived. And I don't know why he changed his mind. It was just miraculous that I lived. Yeah.
One of the many stories you'll find in Nancy Lee's book. It's called My Alaska, book available wherever books are sold. And you realize that besides the beauty we see there, you've got what, bear, moose, caribou, wolves. That's part of ordinary everyday life there, apparently.
Oh, yes. Moose come down in the winter from the mountain because the snow gets too high. So there's moose everywhere in the winter. You see all kinds of animals. 20 minutes outside of Anchorage, which is the largest city in Alaska, there's bears, there's any kind of animal you want. My brother was hiking one time, and above the Kenai Peninsula there, and he was looking for beluga whales in the Kenai, and he sat down to eat lunch, and he felt someone watching him, and he was a little uncomfortable, and he looked up, and behind him was this big mountain goat, this big white mountain goat, and he was just watching him eat his lunch. It's a wild place. It's very wild. Yeah.
The book My Alaska by Nancy Lee. And I mentioned in the beginning, but some people, especially after reading the stories, hearing the stories, will go, no, these can't all be true. These are based on true incidents, correct?
Oh, they're all true. And I've had people tell me they don't believe them because they're so, they are miraculous. I shouldn't have lived through most of them. And, here I am, and I thank God, and I you know, it's an amazing life we live, and Alaska just affords so many crazy adventures when you get out into it and out into the wild and the wilderness. It's another experience. I'm searching for the word. It's so
Well, you bring it to life. You make us feel like we're there. And I mentioned the beauty of Alaska that we see on some of the television programs. I guess that doesn't do it full justice. You do, because you show us the other side of that. You show us the part of Alaska that really makes it Alaska.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful place in the summer. And it's beautiful in the winter, too, but it's darn cold and it's dark. Very dark.
Well, yeah, darn cold and dark. And that pretty well sums it up. And that's the one time of year I would not want to be there. I mentioned in the beginning, therefore, the earthquake. And I'm going to use a capital T with the earthquake. This is 1964, Good Friday, a 9.2 earthquake. They don't register that much higher than the 9.2. Talk about that in your memories of going through that.
Yeah, I was 7 years old, and I was on roller skates when it happened. I was in the basement of my house with my girlfriend, and the first thing I remember is the TV started walking out from the wall. Like, it just started walking. And pretty soon it unplugged, and my friend said it must be an earthquake. And at that second, we were transported somehow to sitting down, and our backs were to a padded bar that my parents had in the basement. And it was the only place in that room that was safe, because all the glass that was behind us was shattered. And just covered the room with shrapnel. And I remember the floor, there was a tile floor, and it went in waves, and the tiles were popping off as it went. And it got kind of dark. All we could see was the light from the window. There was a little basement window, and it was enough light to see. And that was the fault line, the major fault line of the whole city. It ran under our house. And in the meantime, a third of the city was falling into the ocean. And our house had just enough sand in it to keep the mud from dumping our house over. And then I remember there was it quieted, it stopped for a second, and I could hear my mom's voice, and I could hear the fear in it. She was screaming for me, and I ran across the room, and my girlfriend ran up to the steps to get upstairs, and the earthquake started again, and it was so powerful, it was just knocking us from side to side on the steps, you know, on the railing and to the wall, and we were just laughing. It was like a carnival ride, you know. It was fun for us.
Yes.
And I got upstairs, and then my brother Jim came. He had been in the kitchen. And I remember him saying that he saw the whole inlet that came in Anchorage there. The ocean was called the Cook Inlet, empty out and flow back in. And he had hurt his ribs in the kitchen. And by that time, Lisa, my friend, her dad had come walking up to get her and, you know, to make sure she was okay and take her home. And then we just kind of grouped up. Our chimney had fallen out of the living room, just completely fallen out. And there was a big gaping hole in the wall. Everything had fallen out in the kitchen into the middle of the floor, all our mustard, all our ketchup, everything in the fridge. The house was just in total disarray. My father was a doctor, and he was at the hospital taking care of people. It's amazing more people didn't die. It was totally amazing.
It sounds like it, as you're going through that, and you were seven at the time, it sounds like it happened a week ago. You were able to recount, you know, all of everything that had happened. What was life like afterwards, trying to get through all the rubbish, the destruction, and being concerned about aftershocks?
Well, there were a lot of aftershocks. And one in particular was It was a real emotional writing that I didn't think I had any problems with the earthquake because I was seven. And I thought, oh, was a resilient kid. But when I started writing it, the trauma started coming out. And it was really cathartic going back and revisiting it.
Yes.
We had one big aftershock the next day. My older brother had come home with his friend. They were in Turnagain, which fell into the sea. They were wrestling, and there was a big aftershock. And we all ran around the house and out the front door. And my mother was standing at the front door and talking to a contractor about the house because we had to move it. They condemned it and said that it has to be gone in 2 weeks. And so the kids, you know, ran down the front steps and out onto the lawn, which we were told to do. And when I got to the top step, just this thought came in my head, I'm going to jump as far as I can. And so from the top step, I jumped just as hard as I could. And I didn't know it, but as I jumped, the bottom step opened up with a crevasse. And
oh, wow.
It was, I don't know how big it was, but it was a big crevasse. I would have run into it and fallen in it had I gone down the steps. And it opened up just as I jumped over it, and then it closed back up. It was like it wanted me.
Yes.
I would have run into it and it would have crushed me. And my mother saw that from on top of the steps. And when we all as kids went back in, I didn't know what had happened. And she was white, just white as a sheet. And I looked at her and I said, oh, don't worry, Mom, it's just an earthquake. And I went off, ran off. That afternoon, the contractor showed me the line in the contract in the cement.
Yes.
That had opened up, and he was trying to explain to me what had happened. And it was a few years later, my mom told me about it, and I understood what really had happened. And it was just God watching out again.
Well, another brush with death. I mentioned on death doorsteps, literally in this case, the porch steps, the steps to the house that were precarious. Yes. In this situation, Nancy Lee, our guest on the program, going by so quickly, I want to talk about and sort of use that as the jumping off point. Were there difficult chapters to write in the book that brought back memories? And again, the memory you had of the earthquake is different than probably what you thought it was going to be as you were recollecting that.
Yeah, we lost my big brother in an airplane crash. He in near Sitka, he and his best friend, Clark Greening, were doing a fishing lodge. Clark and Melinda were doing a fishing lodge together in Sitka, Alaska. And they had a choice of taking a ferry that would take 3 days or flying that would take like, you know, an hour and 15 minutes. And John hated planes. He said, Nancy, I will never put my whole family on a plane. He hated them, the small planes. And so I don't know how Dina, his wife, talked them into getting on that plane, but she was 6 months pregnant. And the plane went over a pass. And in Alaska, you get a lot of clear air turbulence,
oh, yes.
It's called. And if you're not high enough or lucky enough, the turbulence will slam you into the pass or slam you down. This turbulence flipped the airplane upside down and slammed it down.
Oh.
And everyone on the plane perished. And John was 33 and Dina was, she was younger than him. And she was just, just the most wonderful person on earth. She was just happy, and everybody loved her. She loved everybody. This was their second child. They had lost their first one to stillbirth. And, you know, she was 6 months pregnant. It was just all around such a tragedy. And here they were. They were so happy. My parents had just visited them 2 weeks earlier, caught halibut. There were huge halibut in this cove where they were doing this fishing lodge, and they were just having the best time. And it was so hard to revisit. It was so hard.
Well, I can imagine the pain is, yes, as you go through and you miss your brother and his wife and the family and what was going to be the, you know, expanded family. And you're a pilot, a licensed pilot. The cover of the book shows you in an air transport. A beautiful cover in the book, by the way. The book is My Alaska, Nancy Lee, our guest on the program. Did that affect your flying, going through that with your brother and the unfortunate end of that flight?
Actually, the cover is Chalkeetna Air Taxi.
Yes.
They were going to rescue some climbers from the Kahilna base camp that had been weathered in for 9 days after a climb, and they were out of food. That wasn't me, but
it could have been. Yeah, but it could have been. It could have been. You could have said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm the one in the one behind the wheel, yeah. And I'm waving." But it shows you the terrain there and how treacherous I'm sure that could be. Did your brother's accident have an impact on your flying?
No, it really didn't. Because I'm kind of a baby pilot. I don't fly a lot of passes, and I don't fly a lot of big mountain terrain. Because of that reason, I know what the consequences are. And
yes,
you have to really have your stuff together, have a lot of hours. The pilots that fly Mount McKinley are seasoned pilots. They know their stuff. And for the most part, they know you have to have a lot of airspace going over those passes, because they slam you 1,500 feet. You know, that's normal going over those sometimes. And that has been the cause of many crashes on the mountain. You know, from pilots that just weren't careful or didn't have the altitude. But most pilots are, you know, very careful, and they don't fly the big passes often.
Yes. Boy, fascinating stories. So many of these are in Nancy's book, which is called My Alaska by Nancy Lee. Book is available wherever books are sold. Time going by so quickly. A couple more questions here. I just got to ask you about the glacier ice fields and skiing on those. Just saying that, skiing on the glacier ice fields has a dangerous ring to it.
It does, yeah.
Of course, you were probably 16 at the time and you didn't care, but how dangerous is it actually to ski on the ice fields?
Well, it's very dangerous. Where we were, there were no big crevasses or, you know, but I didn't think to look for any. It never occurred to me. The article I read in Reader's Digest, I read many, many years later, and it just took me back. It was like, whoa, I never considered that. But I would, you know, I was, you're kind of dumb at 16. You're just kind of dumb. But a bear could have run up and got us. I mean, we could have fallen and gotten hurt. We could have, I mean, there were so many things that could have gone wrong. But that was part of the exhilaration and fun of it.
I was just going to say that was part of the growing up there. If you were concerned about all of these and never left the house, well, there wouldn't be any book, My Alaska, and you wouldn't have great stories, and life would be totally different. I mean, this really was an enriching part of your life, life-threatening, but an enriching part of your life as well, wasn't it?
Oh, exactly. It was all an adventure. It was all fun. And it was, you know, if it didn't have a spark of danger to it, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't fun. So, you know, the things you do in Alaska have that spark of danger to them. And you know, they're not dangerous enough that you're going to die for certain. You know, like I see the base jumpers, they scare me to death. That's too much for me, you know. but kind of, you know, it's kind of safe. It's pretty safe.
Well, it is, because you're here talking about it. You're able to write the book, and you're here to talk about it and have some laughs as you look back on all that you did during your early days in Alaska. It's a look at the real Alaska back in the 1980s. Before that, stories on the earthquake in 1964. Just amazing that you were able to survive that and all of the experiences you went through that Nancy brings to life in a very colorful way in her book, My Alaska. The book is available wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the publisher, urlinkpublishing.com. Nancy, the time has gone by way too quickly. It's been a fun blast having you with us on the program. Are you working on another book now?
Thanks, Rick. I have so many more stories.
Oh,
so
good.
Many more.
That was the answer I was looking for. That's good. And do them from your preteen years when you had no fear. Those are great stories. So love to have you back to talk about that. Good luck with that. And congratulations on the success of a wonderful book, My Alaska, by Nancy Lee. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.